The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, Peter Wicks. How are you?
I'm a little bit run down. How are you?
I'm all right. I've got a bit of hay fever, I think, or maybe it's just acclimatizing, but I'm actually good. Thank you.
Good. You look fabulous today.
Thanks. I've had a really heavy weekend.
Tell me about your weekend, because you are back.
I am back to tequila, yeah. We never weren't best friends, but we went on a journey, and we're definitely back strong.
I've actually got a very special shirt for when we go out. It's got tequila bottles on it.
Shut up.
Do you know what? In all seriousness, do you want one? Shall I get you one?
I was going to say, can I?
It's actually a nice shirt as well. It's like a silk shirt that's got all tequila and stuff all over it.
Oh, as in like tequila bottles?
Yeah.
Ah, oh, yes.
Should I get you one? Because you'd actually pull that off. It'd be nice. You'd do a little tie up and all that. And that'd be nice. I don't know why I've turned into a stylist, but.
Okay, you should do you. You tie it up and you'll be fabulous.
Right, and then you'll look fabulous with them glasses on, and then we'll go and drink loads of tequila. We'll right, fucked up.
All right, I like it. Right,
George, do you want one? Stab producer. Georgia, why don't you enter the show? Georgia, just say yes.
George, yes, please.
Yes, please, for Georgia. Three tequila shirts.
I think Georgia should intro the show, because why we talk about her every week, but everyone probably thinks, who the fuck is Georgia? And does Georgia exist?
Do you know what? The dating show doesn't work without Georgia.
No.
She is the third musketeer. So, Georgia, I think it's about time you just say hello to the audience. Just say hello.
Hi, everyone. Why have you done this today when I'm losing my voice?
Specifically for that reason.
Because you sound husky and sexy.
You do. You sound very sexy. I'm hard.
Oh,
thanks, guys.
Right, that's
okay.
Great
start. So, welcome to the dating show. Yes, welcome to the dating show on FUBAR Radio. I am hard, CC Quet. And this week, our topic is bumps in the road.
Have you got a mate on, though? This is the question. Have you got your mate on?
I have not got a mate on.
Oh, whoa.
So this week, we have got Cam Holmes.
Cam Holmes, okay. I don't know Cam.
Cam is from Too Hot to Handle.
I've watched that show, I think. I have watched that show, yeah, in snippets. And it is very hot. It's like full of delicious looking people. But that's about it.
Okay, well, listen.
Put the show down. But just saying, it is literally too hot to handle.
Okay, excellent. Well, hopefully Cam is going to be too hot to handle today.
I think he will be.
We're also going to be doing Love the Way You Lie, and we've got listeners' questions and stories.
Remember, we've got bumper stuff going on. Because remember last week, we missed out a couple of sections. Well, because we just love to chat. We've got some bumper stories today.
We have. Which is why we're going to move on swiftly, so that we don't miss them out again. Lovely.
Well, all right then.
A lovely mug. But before we do that, CC, I think it's right that we should start with.
Okay, so it is sex book time. However, I'm still a little bit in my head from last week's, because I asked you to go low. You surpassed that massively.
Yeah.
Like, I even got messages on Instagram about it.
I did.
Yeah. They're like, you two are fucking disgusting.
Yeah, I got some messages from people just saying you disgust me in so many ways. A lot of people asking me if I'd actually done it.
But did it make you feel a bit excited, like a bit happy when they said? I took like pride in when people say you're disgusting. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah, that's exactly what my responses were in my head, yeah.
I know we're on the same page every week. I love it.
Of course we are.
Go on then, give it to me. What is it? What we got going on this week?
Right, this week we have the soggy taco.
Oh, is it something to do with when the condom comes off during sex and you've already climaxed and it's soggy and it's just left on the bed or the floor or the ceiling or where it's been flung?
The ceiling?
Well, it could be. Yeah.
No, it's not. Okay, the soggy taco. Right. You ready?
Yep.
While having vaginal sex, the female urinates on the male's penis during insertion. This is usually done without the man knowing. So it's just pissing on a dick.
Intentionally?
Yes, intentionally. That is a soggy taco. Wet taco in vagina.
Soggy taco. Okay, but the thing is, like, the texture of of urine is very different to the texture of excitement. So surely that would like interrupt the joy of the sex, no?
Potentially, but you know what they say, the wetter the better. So soggy taco.
You know what? I'll take it. It's all right. Well done for not going too fucking gross today.
No. I thought I'd kind of come back with just a little piss story. We had shit last week. This week, just a little piss story.
Do you think anyone's ever pissed on your willy?
Weird and wonderful dating news.
Right.
So.
Whoa. Weird and wonderful dating news. I loved that. Well done.
Would you like to kick us off, you beautiful little human?
You don't want to answer my question then? Oh, we really are just going to skip it.
Woman catches husband cheating and ruins his friendship with his mother forever. A woman shared a video on TikTok that explained how she got the ultimate revenge on her cheating boyfriend. After realizing he was being unfaithful, she got into his phone and changed the name of his mum to the woman he was cheating on her with.
Oh.
The man started then sexting his own mum and even sent her a dick pic. Viewers, wow.
Yeah.
Viewers were mind blown by the brilliance and savagery of it all, with one saying, I don't know if it's healthy, but I think this is brilliant.
I agree with that statement at the end. I don't know if that's healthy, but fuck yeah.
I mean, listen, we say it every time. There is nothing scarier than a woman
angry
on the warpath.
Yeah.
So
quite like that, because usually I find some of these things payback. I find it a bit, it's too much. It's like, okay, now the problem's with you, not the person that's fucked up because you've gone too far. But this is pretty good.
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree with that. I mean, I would love to have seen his face when he realised he'd sent a picture of his fucking helmet to his mother.
Fucking hell. That's the kind of stuff that really I get paranoid about. You know when you're texting someone anyway?
In case you send your dick to your mum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always worried about that. It's the first thing that comes to my head when I pick up my phone.
Yeah.
You know, when you're scrolling through pictures and you're like trying to like
Send... when you're just scrolling through all your dick pics and you're like, oh, what kind
of... No, I'll tell you what the best one is on Instagram, when you try and send, when you share something with someone.
And it comes up with the recent
It comes up with all the names, but what it does is it's almost like updates halfway through. So it comes up with them and you click on the person and then it changes the name because it's like still like thinking about the fact that it needs to update. So then you're like, shit, whoa, who have I sent that to? And literally, who have I sent it to?
Whoa.
Fuck.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Next one.
Okay. I feel like that's our vocal warm-up now.
So do I.
Should we start every week?
Whoa.
Any more? Go on.
Whoa.
Lovely. I subscribe to a friend's OnlyFans. Her boyfriend is furious with me. A 20-year-old uni student decided to subscribe to his old school friend's OnlyFans account after spotting a link on her Instagram, but things soon got complicated. The 20-year-old claimed he didn't see her much nowadays, and now they're both away studying, but they'd like to catch up when they're back. He was aware but she had a boyfriend, but didn't know him too well, and they've only hung out a few times. However, they recently became acquainted in an explosive fashion. After a few days of subscribing to her account, he received phone calls from her boyfriend going mental. He didn't want her setting up the OnlyFans in the first place and was now getting in contact with all of the men that she has subscribed to his girlfriend's account and asking them to delete any saved content. His friend messaged to say he was sorry that he went crazy at him, that he shouldn't have subscribed and should apologize to him and to her. So I think my most asked question on Instagram is, when are you getting an OnlyFans account? Pete, have you got one?
No.
Haven't you?
Who the fuck wants to see me?
I half expected you to say yeah.
No, who the fuck is going to want to see anything I'm posting? Like, do you know what I mean? So, no, not for me. But I think it's great. I think OnlyFans is great. I think it's great for people. It's a really good way to earn money for lots of different people. Think it's good. However, the boyfriend who's gone crazy, right? Contacting everyone, very weird. I do think he slightly has a point about a friend, though, because OnlyFans is traditionally for showing parts of your body.
Yes.
And it's sexual, isn't it? if as a man I had a girlfriend whose man friend was wanted to see all of her in her glory, I'd be a bit like, well, he's not your friend because he wants to fuck you.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'd be a bit like, well, you can't keep saying that this is an old school friend because he evidently wants to fuck you because he's sitting there wanking to pictures of tits.
But OnlyFans is a tease. So, of course, isn't that a compliment?
Of course it's a compliment. I would find it, you know, if people want to find attractive the person that you're with or whatever else, yeah, that is a compliment. But if someone says they're your friends, you don't fuck your friends. So I would just be a bit like, well, hold on, I thought this was just your pal. I've got a lot of girlfriends, yeah? But let's say, all right, put it this way. Would you find it weird then if you had an OnlyFans getting your tits out and doing all that sort of stuff and I subscribe to it just because I don't get to see you that much these days?
But do you have
Wouldn't you be like, well, is he my friend or does he want to fuck me?
But do you have to subscribe to me personally or would you just subscribe to OnlyFans and you get to view everybody?
No, you have to... Because that's how they get the money. You have to subscribe specifically to the person. So he specifically subscribes to her to see her naked.
Yeah, I do think it's fucking weird, but it also... I do think that is a bit more common than we would like to admit.
What do you mean?
Because male and female friends... Like there's a real fine line, like between it going to something else or that small crossover period, and I think that often happens.
Like when we have tequila and it's like, oh, just, are we going to fuck? I don't know.
And we just touch each other. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Because I just thought that time you wanked me off, it was just a friendly thing. I didn't realise there was more to it.
You silly fucker. Silly fucker.
All right. Well, I can't wait to see you in our tequila shirts because I'm going to finger you.
Should we just move on then? Fucking hell. Fuck's sake, Pete. Right, we're moving on. We're going to move on to the topic.
Heck, please do, yeah.
Let's please do. Your hair's looking very sensational, by the way.
I haven't washed it and it looks horrendous.
Have you just flopped it over to one side? Have you done something? I love
just flopped it. Yeah.
Such volume.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Bumps in the road. So, bumps in the road in a relationship. Well, and in any type of relationship. Have you ever, when you've been in your relationships, come across or not like where it's got stagnant, but to the point where something's happened and you've had to overcome it or something's happened and you're basically deciding which route we're going to go down. We're going to stay together or are we going to decide this is the end and split? Have you ever got to that point in a relationship?
Yeah, 100%. Cool side. I think bumps in the road is very different to there's a major fucking issue. Can we get over it?
It depends what you say.
Bumps in the road, I would see as, you know, in my head, bumps in the road is, you know, a distance thing or a time thing or, you know, if things just become a little bit dull, it's a bit of a bump in the road. Can we get the excitement back? Things like fucking other people and cheating are more less bump in the road and more.
I agree with that, but I imagine there's lots of people that would try and mask how bad something is by
with
saying
a bump
it's
in the road.
Bump. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you have to be honest about them things. But
what do you see as a bump in the road then? What would a bump in the road mean?
Let's say a new job, working different hours. And then having to adjust, you know, between, you know, if someone's working nights and someone's working days and then that's a bump in the road because it's how the fuck are we going to see each other? Distance, if someone has to move somewhere and then suddenly you've got a 3-hour journey instead of 15 minutes down the road, it's a bump in the road.
Yeah.
If you're just fighting about insignificant crap and you're not entirely sure why, it's a bump in the road because maybe that can be mended with communication and whatever else. If... I don't know, your sex life is kind of got a bit dull or whatever else. Mm-hmm. I think that's a bump in the road because you can always try and reignite that passion.
Mm-hmm.
However...
So, go on. Well, so what would you do? So say, let's use the first one as an example. You've got different working hours because you work some incredibly odd hours, right? Sometimes you're up till, you know, 4 a.m. or whatever doing whatever. How would you get over that? If your missus said, look, I work 9 to 5 and you work 24 hours, whatever, how would you two figure that one out? What would that look like to you?
I'm quite a spontaneous person. Unfortunately, that would mean that you have to change that slightly and you have to start planning stuff. So you have to start planning when you've got days together, days free, and planning when you're going to have that quality time, mm-hmm. Which is difficult for someone like me because I'm quite spontaneous with how I live my life. But mm-hmm. if you want to see someone, you will. I've said it mm-hmm. so many times. Same as distance. Yeah, it's a bump in the road if someone's 15 minutes down the road, but then if they may have to move 3 hours away. But if you want to see someone, you will. I genuinely believe that. You mm-hmm. know, it's however busy or however whatever else you are, if you want to see someone, you will make time to see them.
Exactly. That's what it comes down to.
That's what it comes down to. Yeah. And actually, maybe subconsciously, you don't really want to see someone. And that's why you're constantly like, oh, I'm just too busy. I've got this going on. I've got this going on. Whatever it mm-hmm. is. If you want to see someone, you will.
Yeah, 100%.
Arguing about little things. I mean, that's kind of one of them things that I think is just...
I mean, that's kind of normal because you've got,
yeah.
if you look at, you know, I'm in my 30s, you're in your 30s. If you're bringing your 30 years of something into a relationship, like, firstly, how the fuck are you meant to get on? Because I've got what I know of 30 years. You've got what you know of 30 years. And then suddenly, oh, get on, guys.
Yeah.
Harry, whatever. Of course, there's going to be discrepancies.
And I think what people have to realize as well is that anything worth having doesn't come easy, and you know, compromise takes a big part of that, doesn't it? So when you first get with someone,
yeah.
when you get past the honeymoon stage of we're just kind of, you know, everything's fucking great, and reality hits you, you do have to compromise, because nothing is, it, as much as I believe you can have a fairy tale, it doesn't always go that way, and things aren't just instantly, it's just brilliant.
No,
you have to work at things.
You do.
And that's what a bump in the road is. It's a reminder that you have to work.
Yeah, you really do, because it is not easy. It's like starting a new job. You have to figure out your boss. You know, where do you sit in the job? Like, how do you build a working relationship? It's exactly the same with a relationship, just probably way more intense, especially if you live together. Like, living with someone. I've never lived with someone. The thought of that excites me. But then I think, bloody hell. I know how everything sits in my flat, and I know, you know, what my morning routine is like. That's completely disrupted when someone else is in the mix.
100% agree with that. What would you say the most common bump in the road for your relationship has been?
Maybe when it's like that, it is the honeymoon period. It's that sort of after 2-3 months when you're, you go from that, like, wanting to see each other all the time because it's just passion, passion, passion. And then, you know, suddenly, like, normal life has to resume. The job has to be done. You still have to, like, live your normal life. And I think it's that kind of decide of, like, okay, was this just where it was meant to be? Was it meant to be a bit of fun for a couple of months and then, you know, we part? Or is this something? For me, I think I've always got into the habit of, I just see someone long term, because I have boyfriends. I don't have people that I see temporarily. They always turn into like year-long relationships. And that's probably where I've gone wrong, because I've thought, oh, this is just a bump in the road. But actually, it's not. It's a fundamental problem that we're not meant to be together. But the passion has taken over. And then, you know, you're, like I said, for 2 months, it's fucking awesome because everyone's putting their best foot forward. But when reality resumes and you show your true colours, and you're like, oh, actually, do I really like you as you?
I think that's the hard thing, is working out whether it's a bump in the road or actually it's just the beginning of, I like to call it the beginning of the end.
Yeah, but I know in every single relationship I've had where that red flag is, where that moment of like, we should have ended it here. And it could be 6 weeks in, it could be a comment, it could be like a minor, but I know that is when I should have walked away every single time.
So do you tend to, rather than address the bumps in the road, you tend to just let them fester a little bit?
I see it as, because someone said to me years ago, whatever pisses you off now will piss you off forever. And what they mean by, like, if someone has, if they've got maybe too angry too quickly, and I've gone, oh, do you know what, they've had a bad day at work, that's what it's down to. It's not to do with maybe that there's some stuff they need to deal with, they've just had a bad day. So I'll just put that to one side, pretend it's a bump in the road, when actually that is a fundamental fucking problem, because I don't want to be around someone that's angry. So I think the wishful, hopeful side of me wants more. So I think, oh, you know, I can calm you down. It's fine. Next time. And then it goes on.
Interesting. Every relationship you have is going to have bumps in the road. But I think the biggest problem, and this is why so many relationships don't work out, is exactly like you said, is if someone's going to piss you off, it's going to piss you off forever. I think that's a great little saying. But people don't address it. And I think people just put things down because you never not want something to work.
Yeah.
I think that's all of us. It's the same. You don't want something not to work.
Otherwise you wouldn't do it. Yeah.
You want it to work. So maybe you do. Bumps in the road is a bit of a weird term, really, because I think it's a term that probably a lot of the time hides and cloaks fundamental problems that aren't going to change.
Well, that I think that's exactly it, is working out, is this a bump in the road or is this a fundamental problem? And if it is a bump, then it's how do you two get through it together? How do you two come over this or get over that bump? If it's a fundamental and it's a problem with the foundation, it's like one brick been taken and then another, you know, and you're like, right, where the fuck is the foundation to the house? Because
my house is falling down.
My house is falling down.
We're all going to die. Sorry.
Wow. You did have a good weekend, didn't you?
Sorry, I don't know what happened there.
Fucking hell.
Thinking about a house falling on me.
Flag break? You all right?
I might need to.
He's all right. You okay? You all right?
I had a moment there. No one's going to die.
I don't really know where we come back from that. Was it a bump in the road?
Is this our first bump in the road?
Fuck off, have we? No, we haven't.
That's what I said. We've never had a bump. Fuck off.
Cough.
Fuck off.
Cough.
Fuck off. Bump in the road, me and you, never.
Cough.
But yeah, I mean, what would you say the most common bump in the road for relationships is?
I think it probably is that what's happened with myself is that when, you know, everyone stops making an effort because you've just got to the point of like, well, what is this? And it does usually happen 2-3 months in.
Do you think so? What you mean is it when people get too comfortable with each other and they stop? Because I genuinely think, and again, maybe this is because I don't have an awful lot of relationship experience. I have a lot of other experience. So I think you should always make an effort.
I don't think it's down to the effort. I think it's about not showing up as your true self. Because even I do that. Like, you will put your best foot forward. I will put my best foot forward. And then it gets to the point where it's like you, of course you want to impress people. It's like going on a date. You don't come in and be like, you know, come out at a fucking 2 out of 10. You come in at 10 out of 10 because you're excited. You want to be with that person. And then if you're attracted to them, that's like fucking brilliant. So you go on another date, 10 out of 10. And then these 10s are like, okay, this is high energy. I've got to try and keep it up here.
So at what point do you stop being your 10 out of 10?
Well, this is what I'm learning to be. I am learning to be my true authentic self and not come in so fucking high, like I'm the best thing that you'd ever want. And, you know, because my ego got in the way. I'd always want to be the best. I want someone to walk away and go, fuck me, that was the best day I've ever had. That was the best shag I've ever had. That was the best conversation I've ever had. I always wanted to be the best. But for who? It was for my ego. Fuck my ego. So now I come in as I'm trying to come in as me. This is it. You know, it's not always pretty. It's not always 10 out of 10. There are fucking days. And if you like me at my lowest, then you can have me at my highest.
I love you.
I love you.
I really do love you.
Thanks.
You're just such a wonderful human being, you know.
Oh, thanks. Is it because I'm dressed as a hippie today? Is that what it is?
I just think you're just great. I really do.
Oh, Pete, I miss you.
Right, so we are now going to get Cam Holmes on. He was supposed to be coming on with his girlfriend, partner, yeah. Emily, who he met on Too Hot to Handle, but unfortunately she can't make it. So it is just Cam. So let's get him on, shall we?
Yes, get him on.
Hello.
Hello.
Yo. What's happening, mate?
How are we both doing? We good?
Fabulous. How are you?
Right, I am all good, thank you. Very good.
So before we move on to our topic, which is bumps in the road, we're going to tickle your bollocks a little bit, mate, and we're going to ask you some quick fire questions.
I like my bollocks being tickled. Fine.
So do I, my guy.
Excellent. Me too. Date night in or date night out?
Date night in.
Kissing or cuddling?
Kissing.
Giving gifts or receiving gifts?
Giving gifts.
Dating apps or meeting in person?
Dating apps.
Whose opinion is more important? Your friends or your families?
Friends.
PDA or stay away?
Stay away.
DM slider or occasional liker?
DM slider.
Dating several people at once or one at a time?
Several people at once.
Dream job or dream partner?
Oh, dream job.
Dream job.
Nice. Yeah. And I think we know the answer to this one. Single or taken?
Taken.
So Emily was supposed to come on today, but she's not here.
Yeah, she's in Maldives.
Oh,
fucking
right.
It's not a bad life. Not a bad life she lives.
She's shooting
a campaign for work, you know.
Oh, yeah, lovely, okay. Lovely.
I need a work campaign in the Maldives.
Yeah, I think
Cece's just been in Bali for 4 months and she's sitting there telling me she wants to go away. Go fuck yourself.
Pete has very jealous issues and he's very upset that I've left him for 4 months. But Pete, I'm back.
Yeah, that's a long time as well, 4 months.
Oh,
yeah.
Fucking ridiculous. Every week we'd be doing this show and she'd be like, yeah, I'll just come back from the fucking beach. Fuck off, dickhead.
Pete, today you're very upset. Do we need a minute?
I need a hug today. I'm an angry man.
Pray together for a second. Should we all just have a little moment where we pray and meditate?
Should we have a namaste?
Everyone,
let's have a namaste.
And let's namaste to Pete.
Namaste.
Okay, here we go.
So our topic this week, Cam, is bumps in the road in relationships.
Yeah.
I have had many a bump in the road.
Oh, I was going to say, no relationships.
Well, fucking hell.
That was a dig. That was a dig there. No,
I haven't had a lot of relationships, to be fair, because I am eternally single because I fucking like it.
Yeah, straight to the point.
So, relationship-wise, obviously, you're in a relationship now. Have you had many relationships before that?
I've only had one serious relationship before this one. I was very much... similar to you, Pete. I was just multiple different girls. You know, I like being single. To be honest, yeah. before I went on the show, I was very much wanting to stay single. I was like, right, this will be fine.
Really?
Yeah, and then just, I feel like you always meet someone at the time that you don't really expect to meet them. Like, you never want to meet that person. I think that's also the best time. If you're looking for a partner,
I agree.
It's never going to be right because you're looking for it.
So what was it about Emily that made you think, yeah, do you know what, you're something more than just a knight or whatever, a temporary...
Other than the obvious, which is that she's stunning.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
That helps.
Exactly. It helps. Yeah.
Yeah, but for me, she was very much, I need someone that can put me in my place, that can, like, call me on my shit. Em is very strong. She's like... mentally, not physically, she's quite small. But like, she can put me in my place.
She beats me up.
Yeah, she hits me. Nah, can't love her. She does. She puts me in my place and she calls me on my shit. And I kind of needed that. I went through a pattern where I was kind of just walking all over girls, kind of getting my own way. And mentally, that kind of put me off. But when a girl is like, no, you're wrong, that I like someone that can challenge me.
Yeah.
And yes. Em is like that.
So, how long have you been together?
Been together now a year and 3 months.
Oh, wow. Okay. Ooh. So, yeah, so quite a long time. And your relationship before that, how long was that?
That was four and a half years.
4.5 years.
Wow.
Okay. So your relationship before then, in terms of bumps in a road, because we were discussing this earlier on, and I think it's a bit of a fucking stupid term, really, because I think bumps in the road are, it's hard.
It's our topic, Pete. It's our topic.
I think, yeah, but I think that the idea of it is a good topic, but I think that the terminology is fucking stupid.
Right.
Bumps in the road.
Bumps in the road. It's just because I think people confuse bumps in the road to fundamental problems within a relationship. Are you just masking it? We said this earlier on. Are you just masking what is an actual fundamental problem by calling it a bump in the road? Because no one wants things to not work out. You want something to work out, but actually the truth of it is it probably can't or whatever else. And you go, oh, it's just a bump in the road. And what did you say to me earlier on about being pissed off, Cece?
Oh, something pisses you off. You mean the thing that pisses you off? Yeah. If it annoys you at the start, it's going to annoy you for the rest of the relationship. It's not like how someone drinks their tea, but if they fundamentally do something that annoys you, it's going to that's just going to intensify over time.
Yeah, it's only going to get worse at the start. Yeah. I feel like at the start, you're a bit more lenient to things. You know, it's like you're in that honeymoon phase. But in a year in, if they're still doing that thing, you're going to be like, fuck off. Like, this is, we're not in the honeymoon phase anymore.
It's when reality hits, isn't it? So I would see bumps in the road as something like, do you and Emily live together?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's say, I don't know, for example, she's away on work now, or you both go away on work quite a bit or whatever else. That's, I would consider that a bump in the road, because that is something that, you know, that's part of your job and whatever else. Like, that's a bit of a bump in the road, as opposed to other things that I think are bigger issues. So your relationship that you had before Emily, where you were together 4.5 years, what sort of bumps in the road did you go through to last that long? Because presumably it's not fucking great. Like, all relationships aren't fucking great all the time.
No.
So what sort of things did, would you have considered a bump in the road in that relationship that you managed to get past? Or looking back on it, were there things that you classed as bumps in the road that actually you should have fucking finished the relationship a long time before?
Yeah, so it's the latter for me. I looked at them as bumps in the road. I mean, we got together when we were very young. I think your first relationship, especially when you're young, you don't really know what the fuck you're doing. You're like, you're both quite insecure. You've got like trust issues. You're both also learning about yourself. You don't really know yourself, you know. So you're kind of getting to know yourself attached to another person. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for me, I was very much like infatuated by that girl. It was like, she was like my comfort blanket. So I really the relationship should have ended a long time ago. But, you know, I think trust was always a massive thing. I think that's a massive thing in most relationships.
Yeah.
You're always going to have bumps in the road, but it's like a night out, whether it's, you know, whatever it is.
You see that as a bump in the road, like a night out where something maybe went wrong.
I suppose if something did go wrong, or if arguments, I used to argue all the time. It was just constant because we didn't trust each other. We were both quite insecure. Again, didn't know who we were. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, we'd always make up, and I suppose arguments are a bump in the road. It's difficult now because you've thrown that in my head of the bump in the road, or is it an ongoing problem? I've now got that thing of...
I guess that from, if you're with someone for 4.5 years, there were probably many bumps in the road that you just...
There was a lot.
...brushed over because... And they probably were fundamentals if it didn't work out right. But over time, when you know someone, you're like, we'll just get through that to the next one.
Yeah, I mean, it should have ended a long time before it did. I mean, she broke up with me on holiday, which was...
Well, you were both on holiday together?
Yeah.
That is fucking savage.
Yeah.
How was the rest of the holiday? Did you have a good time?
No, I cried a lot, mate, if I'm honest. I'm a crier. So I cried a lot. And then... It was just fucking weird. Like, we're on the plane and I was just like, we're going to go home now and go our separate ways. This is odd. Really fucking weird holiday.
Where did you go on holiday?
We went to Rhodes in Greece.
Has it ruined Rhodes for you?
Yeah, no, I'm never going back to Greece. Greece can fuck off. I'm not. Yeah, Greece hurt me. So, yeah, that was an ideal. I remember she was like, I was like, surely you could have just put that to the back of your head and waited till we got home.
Would you prefer that, really? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, I prefer to enjoy the holiday. Yeah, exactly.
Really? I think I would. But like, we got home and then I was confused. So she was like, I've got to go to IKEA to get stuff for uni. Do you want to come with me? And I was like, what? Like, yeah, all right,
just
maybe.
Just fucking dump me a rose. Now you want
to
IKEA.
No, I mean, fucking take to IKEA. But I went. So I'm a little pussy. I went to IKEA and I was like, yeah, we'll go to IKEA. IKEA will save us. This will be fine. if anything's going to save this relationship, it's the IKEA and it's fucking meatballs. That's what's going to save us.
And has she ruined IKEA for you as well? Or are you all right with IKEA?
No, I'm fine with IKEA.
Okay, good.
IKEA was actually the place I used to take. I used to have this thing where I used to take girls on dates to IKEA because weirdly, they love it. No. Honestly.
Do you not remember? We've heard this before. We had a listener call in to say that a guy had taken her on a date to IKEA.
Yeah, no, I do remember. I do remember this. Yeah. Was it you?
I used to do it. They loved it, though, because it's just interactive. You know,
nothing gets a bird wetter than IKEA and flat pack furniture, eh?
Exactly, mate. Exactly.
Cece, you having that?
Do you know what? I have actually been on a date to IKEA.
There you go.
Yeah.
And did you enjoy it? You enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Did you? Yeah, I did. There we go.
It was the second day and I fucking loved it.
I've never been on a date to IKEA. Maybe this is why I'm nearly 34 and still single. Maybe that's where I've got to go.
But I think it is the meatballs, isn't it? You're right. But Pete, you don't eat meat. The meatballs is like the fucking crescendo of the date. Like,
yeah, but there's also a lot of little rooms and places you can kind of hide and do stuff if you want to. You know, I've never done that.
No,
but that's also the danger side of it. I think Jesus Christ, this guy is that he's a dangerous boy.
Excellent. I've just got visions now of your local IKEA following you around. It's that guy again.
He's got another one.
Yeah, he's got another one. So your relationship with Emily now, you've been together over a year. Obviously honeymoon period. Are you still in a honeymoon period?
No. I mean, we moved in together very, very quickly. I sometimes think too quickly, to be honest, because we met on the show. Everything's fast forwarded, you know, on reality TV. It's like you're in this space where, I mean, I asked her to be my girlfriend after, 3 weeks, told her I love her after 3 weeks. That's not something I would have ever done on the outside world, you know, but inside it felt right. It was good. So we came out and it was because we'd met in a very organic way of like being around each other all the time, not texting. So then when we came out, we were like texting and I was like, I fucking hate this because it's weird. We haven't got to know each other through texting. And then I was like, fuck it, I'll move in with you. So we moved in together after like 2 months from coming off the show.
I moved up there as well.
So I kind of left all my friends and family. So I really just packed up and left.
Yeah.
Where's up there?
Sounds like a really good excuse for you to get out of Newport, mate.
Yeah, no, it was. I was thinking, get me out of this shit then.
Where do you guys live?
Well, we lived at Em's mum's at first in Hertfordshire, but now we live in London.
So that's that's not even close. It's not like you can just hop back. That's a big decision.
Yeah, it was. It was quite a quick decision. I'm quite an impulsive guy as well. I mean, my dad was like, are you sure? He was like, you know, he loves Em. He was like, are you sure you want to do it this quickly? I was like, yes. I was like, this is right. Yeah, I don't like texting, so I'm going to move up there.
So there must have been many things that came up in that where you're figuring everything out, like how to just breathe around someone, how to sleep next to someone consistently. Like, would you have classed those things, maybe the smaller things, as the bumps in the road that you'd have to sort of figure out together?
Yeah, because much as you'd spent a bit of time together, like on the show, obviously that's a bubble, isn't it?
When you're on the show, it's a bubble.
So when you actually come out into real life and what your life is, what her life is, and then you that quickly put yourselves together and have a life together, there must be a fuckload of bump in the road type shit.
Yeah, there was. I mean, like you say, it was a bubble. It was like that kind of honeymoon, not even honeymoon, it was like a holiday romance. And then you come home and it's like, okay, can we make this work on the outside? You know, I think we had times where I think at the start, the first 6 months were a lot easier, I think, because we weren't a public couple. We were just Cam and Em getting to know each other. That time was actually very essential and I'm very grateful for that time.
Why weren't you a public couple? Was it because the show didn't come out?
Yeah, so we filmed the show we came off in December and it came out in June. So we had about 6 months get to know each other. And I'm always grateful for that time because it helped us just living at a mum's, just chilling, being like normal people, getting to know each other. I think if we didn't have that period, it would have been a lot harder.
Yeah. And what changed then from going from like being just you two, and then you're suddenly televised? Did you act differently? Were there things that came up that weren't there before?
Yeah.
Everyone wanting to know your fucking business.
Loads of fun in it, mate. Perks the job. I mean, you know, there's one side of it which is like, you know, we got so much support for, you know, Camely, as that's it. And it fits well. And I love that. And I thought, okay, it's amazing. These people really like us. They've invested into our story. But then the downside of it is everyone wants to know your shit. And if she's not, you know, like she's gone away from work now, people will assume what the fuck's going on. You know, we've had over the last like month, you know, we're working on things at the moment. And, you know, because I think as a public couple, it's not as simple as people make it out to be. You're not this perfect relationship. And I've had comments before saying, oh, if you two break up, I'll never believe in love again. Or if you two break up, I'll kill myself. And I'm like, well, fuck me. Think of the pressure that puts on us.
Like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and exactly. So it's a lot of pressure. And then we're both trying to navigate through this new world that we've been given, then do it together. And then, you know, I think being a public company is challenging. But I think if you can actually make it through it, it means, you know, you've kind of stood the test, because not many people have, to be honest.
Yeah, completely agree with that. I certainly never fucking have. you mentioned the last month you're working through stuff. So is it a bit all over the shop at the minute?
I mean, we're in a good place at the moment. You know, there's been a lot of rumors and stuff that are being put online, and that's obviously difficult because we were having a bit of time away from each other. I was working a lot on myself. She was working on herself, because we never really had that time either. Mm. You know, it just been, the show came out and it was just like, fucking, here you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's 100 miles an hour, isn't it?
Yeah, chuck you straight into the fucking mixer. We were always out at events, you know, drinking. We were never both in the best of places. So we're like, okay, we're having a time away from this. And then, you know, rumors started flying about. Obviously, we haven't addressed those, because I don't feel like we owe it to address them. We always want, because we're a genuine couple, I think we're allowed to be able to work this out in private. And
100%.
I don't feel like I owe it to anyone to address those rumors.
No.
It's
the biggest problem with being in a public relationship is that no matter what happens, everyone feels like they deserve to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, do you know what I mean? Like, everyone, whatever goes on, everyone's like, so you've got to tell me about this, or what happened here, or explain this, explain. I don't have to explain shit. It's between you two, you're a couple, and that's the way it is. But unfortunately, that's part and parcel of kind of the life that.
So what do you do with that? Like, so say, because that is a lot of pressure. Someone saying, if you two break up, I will kill myself, or whatever this person, you know, how do you take that? Is that you just, do you now emotionally distance? How do you kind of manage that together?
Yeah. I mean, I take it with a pinch of salt, because I understand that they got to know. So I think the reason people are so heavily invested is because people watched us form our relationship. Mm-hmm. So they've watched the beginning of our relationship. That's how it happened. And they've seen that. So they're emotionally invested into it. And I take it with a pinch of salt, whereby I know these people, a lot of our audiences are young kids as well. And I'm like, it'll be a case of if anything did happen, they forget about it in a week.
Also, yeah. I think people, when they look at relationships that are in the public eye or whatever else, they have a very idolized view of what it is. Because they'll see you both at events, you know, looking fucking great and going on holidays and doing all that. And think that's exactly the relationship I want.
That's
what they don't see is when you're at home and, do you know what I mean? You've left the toilet seat up and she's calling you a fucking prick. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's what every relationship has. But people think, well, that doesn't happen, because they're constantly fucking just look great and doing this and doing that. So people idolize what they think the perfect relationship is. Mm-hmm. And no relationship is perfect. We all have the fucking shit and the bumps in the road of moving in together and you leaving your fucking socks on the floor or whatever the fuck it is, and her going, you're a fucking prick. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's what every relationship does. But people don't see that. They just see when you both then get dressed up, go out, and do you know what I mean? They're like, fucking hell, they're amazing.
Mm. Well, it's cherry picked, isn't it? I think it's the same as just a normal person with a profile on Instagram. It's all cherry picked to make as if their life is.
You don't put your shit on Instagram, do you?
No, you don't. It's the same then with the relationship. That relationship is cherry picked, you know. And yeah, they won't see the times where fucking M's banging on at me for not rinsing my plates off the dishwasher, and so And they'll see the cute videos we do for each other's birthdays. But this relationship is like a fairy tale. And it's like, it's great, but fuck me. The amount of times
you're still human,
pissing all over the seat, like you say, the dishwasher, the amount of arguments we've had of the dishwasher and the washing machine behind it is a fucking joke.
I love the honesty. It's really nice that you've become a house husband.
Thanks, man.
Really cute, mate.
Very cute.
Right, listen, we're gonna move on now to a little game which I think you know about. called the Love the Way You Lie game. Now, notoriously, Cece is fucking unbelievable at this game. She gets it right every fucking week. And I'm evidently a fucking moron because I never get it right. Everyone seems to find it really easy to lie to me. And I just never...
Oh, poor Pete.
Exactly.
Poor fucking Pete.
Thank you.
Welcome.
So you're going to give us three stories, two of which are true and one is a lie. So we have to guess which one's the lie. So hit us with it.
All right. Number one, I once initiated me and a girl pissing in each other's mouths at the same time, simultaneously. Number 69. Two.
Okay, good.
Yeah, okay. Number two, I had sex in a elevator, a very busy elevator during the middle of the day in a holiday complex. Number three,
Fisted.
Yeah, while watching Lord of the Rings and Two Towers.
Right. I love these. These are great.
I love these.
Okay. So we've got one question for each story.
Okay.
Each. CC.
Pissy pants. Right. Did it happen? So you initiated, did it happen?
Yeah, it was obviously like it wasn't in my mind as it didn't go as well as I thought it was gonna go. Obviously we put a sheet there and we knew that there's gonna be piss everywhere, but it didn't go as planned, if I'm honest. I feel like there was a bit of a height difference as well, which didn't really help the situation.
Someone missed a mouth, is that what we're saying?
Yeah, it was mainly her because I feel like I had a lot more aim. I feel like girls don't. But we made sure we drank a lot of water as well. It wasn't yellow. It was clear. We planned for it.
The detail in this. It was a clear piss. It wasn't even yellow.
The last thing you want to do is do that first thing
in the morning after a night out. Oh fuck me.
Oh no, no. Yeah.
No asparagus for a week.
Sugar pop piss. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Frothy piss in the morning. Fuck that.
Okay. Question for number two.
On, Pete, what's your question?
I don't have a question for that one.
Okay.
I'm happy with it.
All right. You're happy with the details.
I'm happy with a piss. Question for number two is when you say the lift was busy, there wasn't other people in the lift.
No, it was a very busy day. A lot of people were trying to get in the lift. I was constantly having to be at the button. It was the most dangerous sex I've ever had in my life, to be honest, because it was a busy holiday complex. So it was people are going to be trying to come in. There was only two lifts, so we were in one of two. And it was just the danger that I liked about it. It was like, okay, this door is going to open. And if I don't close it in time, someone's getting an absolute eye of just...
Danger fucking is good. I'm a big fan of a danger fuck.
It's like it's an upgrade from a danger wank. Danger wanks are great, but
wanks. Do you know what danger wank is, CC?
I actually do.
Oh, danger wanks are fucking great.
I've been in that position a lot.
Oh, fucking great.
I've got a question for your number two. This is a very busy elevator. How long did it last?
Not long to be
one floor.
I didn't finish, to be honest, because the problem with the danger fuck is that it's not gonna be a full length fuck. It's gonna be okay, bits and dribs and drabs here and there, stop start, but it's
like poke poke done.
Yeah, so we actually finished, yeah. We went upstairs to the apartment actually, and I finished properly after that.
Okay, and number three, how was it? That's my question.
I didn't enjoy it. I only done it once, wouldn't do it again. it was just odd having quite a big hand as well, to be honest.
And I was just about to say, you're quite a big geezer, aren't you?
Yeah. It was
interesting.
Yeah, it was something I think everyone...
You didn't get up to the elbow then, no?
No, not like full cow mode. No, just a fist. I think everyone should try it. It's a bit like...
I think I'd have to take all my rings off, otherwise I'd be cutting someone.
My question...
All my rings were off, yeah.
Did you use lube?
No.
It was just a lot of tears. It was just a lot of tears.
I mean, it was a work in progress. It was a constant, you know, it was really just
you took your time.
I had to build up to it. It's not a straight bam, yeah.
You had some patience.
Yeah, you can't just punch a cunt, you've got to work it in. So,
exactly. And Lord of the Rings is a long film, so I had a long time to really.
That's the weirdest part of that story. You got Frodo in the background, just fucking like, you, do you know what I mean? Sucking off fucking Gandalf or whatever, and you're there fisting a bird. Very strange. Well, sounds like an interesting night.
What it was that the internet wasn't working, so Netflix wasn't working. The only DVDs I own is a special edition 3-pack box set of Lord of the Rings. So I was like, right, fuck it, let's get this on. I didn't put it on thinking, oh, I'm going to fist you.
I was going to say, was that the choice of fisting material or did the fisting come? So Lord of the Rings was the first choice, fisting came second. It wasn't a case of, tonight I'm going to fist. It. What's good for that? I'll see what's good for that. Lord of the fucking Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, got you. Got ya.
Yeah, no, so the Lord of the Rings hit first, fisting came second. Yeah.
Got ya. CC.
So my analysis of this is I feel like the fisting to Lord of the Rings is the lie.
I think number two is definitely true. I think number one's the liar.
Pissy pants.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pissy pants is the lie. It's lie.
I can reveal yourself.
Pissy pants is the lie.
Oh!
Absolutely smashed it.
I've lost. This is a big fucking moment, Cam. All right, this is a big fucking moment.
Huge.
We have done this show. We've done over 60 shows. Over 60 shows, and I've never fucking got it right.
Fuck.
Well, this is the first time we got it right.
First time. First fucking time ever in 60 shows.
Fucking right. Well,
suck on that, you fucking bitch.
You know what? I'm quite good at lying, so I think maybe I've thrown you off there. Pete's just gone right. He's looked past the lies. He's gone, what's more believable from a voice?
Well, I was just thinking, surely he's not going to come on here and admit that he fisted someone to fucking Lord Rings with no lube. But actually, you did. You did.
Do you know what?
You fisted each other instead.
And you know what, Cam? Yeah. I've got so much respect for you for that, son.
I'm never going to watch Lord of the Rings in the same way now.
I'm going to put it on now because, to be honest with you, I'm hard.
Fuck it. All right.
Listen, Cam, thank you so much, mate, for coming on. Been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Hopefully we'll get you and Emily on at some point soon so that you can have a full-on fucking row about the dishwasher in front of us.
Yeah. That'll be it. That'll be perfect.
Amazing. Thank you so much, mate.
Thank you, Cam.
Day.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good day.
I don't know if I'm more shocked at the fact that you've just got something right. He's been fisting. Maybe it's that. I'm just shocked that we've got there. I clap for you.
Nothing says fisting like Frodo. So, do you know what? Nice guy. Funny guy.
Really funny. Really funny. Genuine, cool, chilled. Yeah.
Yeah. We like Cam. Yeah. That's another one that we should invite him on a night out.
He will be another person to join the night out, yes.
That no one has come on.
No, we've got...
Not one person.
Not one fucking person.
However many shows we've done, fucking 50, 60 shows, whatever it is, not one person has come out of this.
What does it say about us? Do you think they're nervous?
I'll tell you what it says. No, I just think it says that no one fucking likes us.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because I like you. In fact, I love you.
I love you, so fuck them. Fuck them.
So, we are, if you have just tuned in and you've just missed fisting with Cam Holmes, you are listening to the Dating Show on Foobar Radio. We are now going to go on to listeners' questions and stories, which is our favourite part of the show.
Give it to us. Who have we got?
So, we have... Again, we've actually run out a little bit of time again, so we are going to do just some advice. So, unfortunately, are we going to do the voice note advice? Or are we going to? Let's do the voice note.
Lucy, where's she from?
I'm going to say, because Cam's from Wales, I'm going to say Wales.
Okay, I'm going to say...
Let's say she's Welsh.
I'm going to say she's from Brighton.
Oh.
Mm.
Lucy, give it to us.
My name's Lucy and I'm from London. I split with my boyfriend of 7 years about 9 months ago now. and I think I'm ready to get into the dating scene and meet new people, but just not really sure how to go about it. So any advice on how to ease myself into it would be very much appreciated. I also don't want to settle for something that's not really great, but also don't want to be super, super fussy at this point. So just some tips and advice would be fantastic. Thank you.
I'm going to say, because you said about you don't want to settle, but also you don't want to be fussy, like, but basically work out your boundaries. What are your boundaries? What are you not willing to settle for or go past? And then go from there. And just remember to have fucking fun. If 100%. You've only been out of this relationship 9 months, whatever you do now, enjoy yourself because you deserve it. You've been with someone for whatever, good relationship, bad relationship. Go and enjoy yourself. Have a little bit of fun and maybe take the pressure off it being anything big. Just if you're going to, you might just meet a new friend.
I think, it's great that you now feel ready to start dating again, but I think it should stick to dating. Don't expect a lot from whatever you're going. Every day is an opportunity to go out, have fun, meet new people. Like CC says, it doesn't necessarily mean it has to turn into something because you've been in such a long relationship for such a long amount of time. Dating is so fun. It's great. You learn so much about yourself, about other people. And I think it's a really good way for you to learn more about yourself as a process by dating. So actually, don't think too much about it. Go on fucking dates, but go on loads of dates. You don't have to just date one person. Go on a few dates. Date a few different people. Enjoy yourself, and then you'll work out a little bit more about what you don't want and what you do want out of your next partner by dating different people.
Yeah. And if we didn't mention that, because obviously we're like, go on a date, and you're probably thinking, well, yeah, well, how the fuck do I go on a date? Apps, if you're not on the apps, you know, there's nothing fucking wrong with them. If meeting someone in a bar and approaching them or waiting to be approached is that's daunting, then go on the apps and you've kind of got a bit of a safety net with being able to talk to someone first, get to know them, and just say yes.
And do you know what? You'll be very surprised by when you do go on these dates. They don't have to tick all of your boxes straight away. You're not going to know what someone's like until you actually sit down and spend time with them. So be spontaneous and just fucking go for it. If someone asks you on a date, go for it. Go for it.
Just say
yes. Don't overthink it. Just go for it. In fact, Lucy, do you want to go on a date? I'll go on a date.
Oh, Luce. Right, we're going to say yes for her. You two are going on a date and then Pete. No, you can keep it. I was going to say you can share the experience, but maybe it should be kept in private because why should it always be announced? You're looking at me.
I was just wondering where you were going with that. I was just waiting.
I didn't know where I was going with it, but what I was trying to say is maybe you can come back and report. And I thought, now it's unfair. Like if this is maybe her first date, you shouldn't, you know, maybe she wants to keep it private.
And if you like to say, if you are listening and you like the sound of Lucy's voice and you would like to go on a date with Lucy, then write in to us, all right? Because maybe, do you know what? It's about time we try to fit some people up on this show as well.
Yeah, Lucy, have you ever been to Amzonico? If you like that restaurant, if you haven't been, I'll tell you what, it is a fucking spot.
It is a great date spot. Right, so Lucy, hopefully that helps. Go dating, and also we would love it, genuinely love it, if you reported back to us maybe in a couple of weeks' time and
please do
let us know about some of them dates or how it's going. We would absolutely love that. So we were going to do a bumper pack of listener questions and stories, but we spent so long.
Was too fucking good, so
too good, and we spent too long talking, so unfortunately we can't do that. However, we are going to do that next week, I promise.
Oh, really? What if you've got a really good guest?
And then no, because we're specifically going to book someone shit.
Okay, so we're going to have one of Pete's friends on next week, and then that means we can do the bumper pack at the end. Yay!
There we go. So if you want to send in your stories and questions, then please send them to thedatingshow@foodbarradio.com. You can also keep up with everything we are doing on Instagram, which is the home, the HQ, the hub of everything The Dating Show, which is thedating_show. Thank you so much to Cam. Thank you so much to CC for just being a wonderful, vibrant light of my life, who I appreciate very much, and I don't know how I would survive without.
Oh, he comes through with the words. I like this. I've realised my love language is word of affirmations as well. So when someone says things like that, it makes me feel warm inside.
Excellent. Well, I'm pleased that I make you feel warm inside.
You do. You warm me up like a kettle.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Love that. Don't know where you were going with
I don't there, either. No. It's
absolutely.
Like a hot water bottle.
Yes. Okay. Still weird. But thank you. Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
Love everyone listening. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you.